Okay, tonight's message, what's up with God? And I'll guarantee you that everybody in here and everybody watching has thought this at least once in your life. You had to have. What's up with God? And here's some of the reasons why people say that. Does God hear my prayers anymore? Think about that. There's a lot of people that have said that before. How about, why hasn't God healed me yet? I've heard that one. Why hasn't God delivered me from my addictions? Now, I'm giving you some that I get all the time and some that I had to go through. Why hasn't God given me a husband or a wife yet? That's the number one question I get asked by single people, by the way. Especially somebody that's over 30. Okay, I used to have to ask that same question one time. So I don't have to anymore. Where has God been all this time that I've been going through all of these problems? Where's God been? Where is he? What's up with God? Where is he? I'm going through all of this mess. Where's God? Does God really care about me? These are questions that people ask me. Does God really care about me? How about, why hasn't God fixed my marriage yet? I've heard that one too. This week, the reason why I'm talking about that is this week, the last few days in particular, I've been getting messages after messages after messages of people that are just absolutely desperate. They're hanging on by a string, if they're hanging on. I had one person write me today, and he said, I give up. I'm done. I've been doing this for so long, and nobody cares. I'm broke. People are taking advantage of me. This is happening. That is happening. In fact, I had two people contact me today with that same message. Two people. Two. The same message, the same hurt, the same pain. They're hurting. They keep giving, they keep giving, they keep giving. They get involved, and I'm going to be real blunt here for a minute. They get involved in some of these prosperity ministries. They try to take everything you have instead of talking to you about blessing the Lord properly, because there's a proper way to do it. There really is. Now, you can't outgive God, but it doesn't just mean your money. It means of yourself, too. But when I talk about this, I'm not preaching poverty. I'm not going to preach poverty, because that's no good. What I'm trying to get people to understand is that there is a place where you can be at and be secure with the Lord. He doesn't want you to give up everything that you, well, maybe. Like the very, very rich man, he had him ask him that, because if he wasn't willing to give that up, then he wasn't willing to follow the Lord. But that's not what God is doing to everybody. That's not like a message of, oh no, if you got money in your pocket, you need to give it, you need to do it. No, ask God. God will speak to you directly. Don't let people take you for everything you got. That's the wrong message, and all the people that are out there doing that message, I'm concerned. I'll leave it at that. But this is bad. This is heartbreaking. When I get somebody that's telling me, I'm done, I give up. I've done everything I know to do for the Lord, and nothing has ever happened. These are real people with real hurts, real problems that's really going on. So this is the way I'm going to do this. The first one was, does God hear my prayers anymore? My answer is yes, God hears your prayers. God never turns a deaf ear to you. He's always listening, every time. Here's the neat thing about it. God's the only one that can even read your thoughts. So when you're even thinking something, God knows it. Now, Satan cannot do that. I know a lot of people are like, they're scared to death of Satan. Like, oh no, I better not think that. Satan will figure it out. If you're afraid of Satan, you got a problem, because he's already defeated. This was part of the message of last night too. That was part of my message, and I'm like, he stole it. But really, if you're afraid of Satan, if you're afraid of demons, you haven't read the Word of God. You haven't really grasped a hold of it and understood. You have nothing to be afraid of. He's already defeated. He's done. He's toast, literally. Well, he is in hell, so he's probably toast. Either that or Phoenix. That was hot, too. I know my friends in Phoenix are going to roast me for that one. But people want to know, does God hear your prayer? Yeah, God hears them. How about this one? Why hasn't God healed me yet? Listen, I can't give you a definitive answer to that. But I can tell you my own experience, what I had to do. I had to step into it. I had to step into the healing. I had to say, okay, either by his stripes, I am healed completely, or by his stripes, maybe I'm healed. Maybe I'll get it eventually. No, I've had to actually walk into my healing in my life. I've had to walk into it and say, okay, God, you said it. You said you'd heal me. You said I'm healed. I'm done. I'm healed. Now, the symptoms didn't look too good. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes my symptoms didn't look good, but God healed me. Last year when I was sick for 3 months, it was on me. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. They sent me to all of these specialists. They put me in a hospital. Well, they didn't put me in a hospital. I had to go to the hospital 3 times because I couldn't breathe. All this junk was going on. I never once questioned God. Never once did I say, God, why haven't you healed me? Not once, because I learned a long time ago. I just said, God, I'm just going to believe. And it never stopped me from speaking. It never stopped me from doing a single thing. I'd lose my voice. My throat would close up to so tight I couldn't breathe. I'd be driving down the road and I couldn't breathe. And they couldn't figure out what was triggering that. It wasn't nerves. I wasn't upset. I wasn't turning my head a certain way. It was just, it would trigger. Because it triggered for them once and they couldn't figure it out. And it did that. And it was like, whatever. But I just kept saying, no, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be okay. And then when I had that lump on my, through all of this, losing my voice changing to a much higher pitch because I didn't have my vocal cords properly anymore. I had this big growth on my vocal cords and they were going to have to cut it off. But I sat there and I remember just sitting in that doctor's office before that surgeon came in to look at me one last time. And I just put my hand on my throat and I said, Heavenly Father, just have compassion. I don't want this done. Take care of it. I want to be completely healed. Nothing. The guy came in there, he looked at my throat and he goes, I don't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you got a little dinky speck on your vocal cords. That's it. I'm just telling you, you have to walk into it sometimes. I can't explain why. I can't explain it. I can't understand why everybody hasn't just instigated. But there is a difference between a healing and a miracle. An instant miracle. Because every healing is a miracle. Every healing is a miracle. Some of them are instant and you see it, you know. Somebody jumps up out of a wheelchair and they're walking from now on, you know. You see that. Those type of things happen. They're real. But then you have people that might sit in that wheelchair for another year and then they get up out of the wheelchair and walk. It just, I can't tell you why some things happen sooner or later. But I'm telling you, walk into it. God's healed you. Step into your healing and claim it. Here's one that I get asked a lot because I've known people recently. I've had to talk with people about this. But people will ask me, why hasn't God delivered me from my addictions yet? This could be anything. It could be drugs, food, pornography. It could be anything. It's an addiction. If it's something that takes you away from the normal things in life, if it takes you away from God, it has become an addiction. If it's gaming, people are going to get into gaming, it becomes an addiction. And addiction's not good. I don't care what kind of addiction. It's not, unless you're addicted to Jesus, that's okay. Because that's the only thing you can really be addicted to that you're really not addicted to, but he's just going to keep flooding you with more and more and more. You see, I changed my old ways. I walked out of it years ago. And when I did, I didn't have addiction anymore. This is what I'll tell you. God's delivered you from your addiction. Now you have to stop doing them. He's delivered you. He's done his part. He's delivered you. Now you have to do your part. See, that's what we want. We think we're all a bunch of babies, and we're just going to go, fix me, Lord, feed me, change me, whatever, like a little baby. That's not the way it is. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to do some things yourself. That's what we do. We're not puppets. There's no strings attached. You know, we're not a puppet. We have to make these changes. We have to do things. There's things we have to do. It's important. If we don't start making those changes in our life and doing some things, like me, I had to change my diet. I had to. Let's be honest. You know, I was addicted to carbs. I had to cut them back. I had to get rid of them. I'm happy. I'm doing great. I like not having them around. If I want some really bad, I'll just go have a little bit. That's it. It's not an addiction anymore. It's not a problem. But I had to change my lifestyle. I started becoming more active and doing things that I have to do. I had to do that. That's my part. God healed me of kidney disease. God healed me of diabetes. So why would I go back to that same lifestyle to create that again? Because if you do that, you're failing. You're failing God. You're failing yourself. And you're blaming God. And I'm going to get to that in a little bit more. This is my favorite one from single people. Why hasn't God given me a husband or a wife yet? Well, God will give you that husband or that wife that you desire at the right time. You have to wait on the Lord and quit thinking that everybody you meet might be them. I saw a lot of heads go, ah. I even heard them sighing through the airwaves here. Because you do. You sit there and you're like, I wonder if that's her. Oh, no, there's a guy with her. No. I wonder if that's him. I mean, you know, I hear this all the time. You know, I can tell you that when I was single for a while, that I went to a particular church. And I'm not going to discuss the name of it or where it's at, but I went to this church. It was a big church. And people found out that I was single. Well, women did. And I'd go to sit someplace, and it was like, I'm like, I'm in church, and they're like, hi, how are you? I'm fine. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I'd have like 5-10 women right around, and I'm not kidding you, okay? This happened. And so I would come late and find a seat someplace else. They'd all come over there. Then they'd be sending me messages. Hey, will you sit with me next week? No. I know, but I'm serious. This happened. This went on. I had to quit going to that church. You know? I did. I had to quit going. My wife knows this story. She wasn't one of them. She rejected me. No. No, but I'm telling you, these things really happen in life, and it happened, and it was a very difficult time in my life. And, you know, I'm not ugly, but I ain't that good looking, okay? It's just like all of a sudden, it was like wherever I went, I was constantly getting phone calls. I had to change my number. I was getting phone calls from the group, the singles group at the church. Hey, we're going to be doing this week. How about this week? How about that? I'm going to go change the number. That's with the old cricket phones. My son remembers some of this. He does. He knows some of the stuff I went through. It was sad and it was hilarious. But listen, wait on the Lord. God's got somebody. I know my wife and I, we got married almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years, August 3rd. Is that right? August 3rd? Okay. Just double checking. I knew I was right. I was just checking on her. But we've been married for 5 years. And it's been great. It's really been great. Because when you wait on the Lord and God gives you the right one, it's amazing what will happen. Next question. Where has God been all this time that I've been going through all these problems? Where has God been all this time that I've been going through all these problems? I felt like that once. That's desperate. It's a desperate place to be. You're in desperation. I got news for you. God's been with you through all of those problems, every one of them, and all the things that you've gone through. And he sees you. He sees those problems, and guess what? It hurts him too. You know how I know? God gave us feelings. God gave us emotions. And because of that, we're made in his image. And I know he has the same thing. As a parent of a child, if anybody in here is a parent or anybody watching, you know what it's like. If your child hurts, you hurt. And sometimes you hurt worse than a child because you have an understanding that they don't. And that hurts. That's an ache. I know God hurts. When God sees problems that I'm going through or God sees problems you're going through, God sees them. He hurts. He's sending answers. Sometimes we're so deep in it, we can't see what he's doing. I've been there. I've been in the pity party train too. I was the conductor. I was leading it. And I'm telling you, it's not good to be there. It's difficult. And then there's real hurts that's not self-pity. There's things that happen. And when those things happen in life, God sees it. God's crying too. He's hurt. He's hurt over brokenness. He's hurt over all those things. He's crying inside too. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you. You got to take it to him. God will help you heal. It's a healing process you have to get over. It's not something that's just, oh, oh, snap, I'm out of it. We have some good friends of ours that have lost family members, children, that have died from different things. That's, oh, I can't even fathom what that's like. They will never get over that. They never will. You can't get over that. But God will help them. God can help them through the rest of their life. He can help you. Eventually, you'll start understanding some of the things that happen. Sometimes it hurts. It hurts deep. Real deep. But God understands and he loves you. He's got his arms around you. Never think that he doesn't care. Never think that he doesn't know what's going on. He knows. He's hurting too. Does God really care about me? You know, he gave his son to die on the cross to forgive you of all your sins. He allowed him to take the stripes on his back so that you can be healed. Here's another thing I can't ever fathom. How you can take your child and say, here, destroy him, kill him for everybody. The lowest creature, your worst enemy, the person you hate the most, and he gave his son for that person too. Just like he did for us. The lowest person you could ever think of in the world, the poorest person, the most needy person, the most whatever, the drug addicted person, the person on the street, the person living in a country where they can't even get water, they can't even get food, they can't get anything. God loves them as much as he does you. Just as much. And he gave his son to die on the cross to forgive everybody of their sins. All you got to do is come and say it. Say, forgive me of my sins. I accept your son. Your son is, it's the son of God. Jesus is the son of God. That's it. Everything is erased out of your life. I couldn't imagine doing that. I can't imagine what that would even be like to do. But yeah, God did that. And the reason why I know that hurt God is because we're made in his image. And if that happened to me, it would rip me up. I'd want to destroy the earth. Let's be blunt. That's how I'd feel. No, don't hurt my son. But he says, Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. And he did this because we need to be healed over everything. And God set the most prime example ever of what it's like to get to that point in our life where we have to say, okay. And I know this is a hard message up to here, but it's something that God's been laying on my heart because there's people out there hurting right now. There's people really, really hurting. And it's getting bad. Because when I get two people in one day with the exact same problem, the exact same thing, they want to give up. One has already said he's given up. And I begged him. I did. I begged him. I said, please forgive me. I guess I haven't done my part. You see, I feel bad because I didn't reach out to him like I should have. I didn't see it. I didn't ask God. And I'm reaching out now. And I'm just saying, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I put a post up about him on Facebook for people to pray for him. I sent him a copy of my book to read. I sent him the electronic version so he can have it. This is a guy that needs something. He needs to know people care. He's cared. He's done everything in the world he can. And now he's jobless, homeless, broke, doesn't have anything. And people are just like, yeah, okay. The worst thing you can do, when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I need prayer, the worst thing you can say, okay, yeah, okay, man, I'll remember you in prayer and walk away. What you need to do when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, man, can you pray for me? Drop what you're doing and pray with them. There's a need for that. They wouldn't be asking you if it wasn't a need. I'm telling you. There's people I've had to because I had to speak here tonight, but I had to say, hey, listen, can I pray with you after church tonight? Because I couldn't do it just before coming out here. That's what's happening right now. Yeah, there's a lot of grand and great things that are happening. There's a lot of things that are happening politically right now that is very good. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things being exposed. But there's also a lot of hurt. And we need to understand that. And we need to start feeling for other people, me included. I'm not preaching at you guys. I'm talking about myself. Why hasn't God fixed my marriage yet? This is a really tough one. And I prayed about this before I ever put anything down here, and I asked God to help me. And God says, I can't fix the marriage until both of you allow God to do it. It takes two to be married and two to fix it. If only one of you is willing to fix it, then pray that the other person becomes willing too. But also remember that they have a free will. Never stop praying. I know somebody that hasn't stopped praying and their marriage is being healed. And I've known people that gave up. There's times where you have to say, and I'm blunt. Now, you're not going to hear this from most preachers. There's times when you have to say, I cut the cord. That's it. If there's any kind of abuse whatsoever, cut the cord. Go. Abuse is not something that it said in the Bible that you must live under. Nothing in the Bible says if you're being abused, live with it, deal with it. You might get them saved. That's what people try to tell you. Listen, that's not part of it. You don't live under abuse. It never said you live under abuse. Don't do it. It'll ruin you, it'll ruin them, and it'll ruin any children. God will prevail over everything if you give everything to him. And God is working in people's lives right now. I see it happening. I see it happening in marriages, and I'm very happy. And I've also seen marriages where people have divorced and they've had to go their separate way. But God's still in it. And don't anybody sit there and go, oh, throw me the religious whatever symbol up and tell me all these things. I'm not one for divorce. But I'm not one for somebody to live in a marriage where it's the most miserable thing in the world. And you're there for years and years and years and years and you can't get out of it. And you're being abused. It's either physical or it's mental or it's an emotional abuse. It doesn't matter. It's all abuse. Here's one of the biggest problems in this last question. And one of the biggest answers. God can move into any situation. But because each person on earth has a free will, God cannot make them do something that they don't want to do. Because God gave man a free will. And God has done more than anyone else would do. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross that we might live eternal. Now it's up to us to change things. Yeah, guess what? We're back to James 4:7. Isn't that amazing? You can take one little scripture in the Bible and I can talk about it for a whole year. I was talking about it a year ago. By the way, the 17th will be a year that we've been here. I won't be here that day. We'll be closed that night here because Christopher's going over there too and we won't be able to do anything on the 17th. But I'm telling you, you turn everything over to God. You let him have it. I'm going to read it, James 4:7. You can turn with me in the Bible, or you can do what I do, and you just have this one memorized by now. It's been a year I've been talking about it. And I'm going to read it exactly like it's written. It says, submit yourselves. There's a comma. What's a comma mean? It means pause, right? Stop. Listen. Think. Whatever you have to do, there's a pause. Submit yourselves. Then, comma again, to God. Period. Now, if you're submitting yourself to God, you have to submit. And we're going to get into that word in just a second. But here's the next part. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, that's our part. That's the part that we have to do. We have to resist. Okay, I can remember when I kicked drugs. I had to resist. I had to say, no, no more. I asked God for help. God said, you're on your own. No. He just said, I'm helping you, but you have to do your part. I resisted. I didn't have to go through any treatments. I didn't have to go through any programs. I didn't have to go through anything. I did the one-step program. I was, I'm not. Best program out there. It is the best program. I've seen so many people, and I talked to somebody about this just the other night. I've seen so many people go through a 12-step program and fail at one step after the other, after the other, after the other. And you know why? Because, and don't get mad at me, folks, but it's a fact, the 12-step program is set up for failure. It always gives you an outlet and an excuse and a release for some reason that if you don't make it, don't worry, we'll try to do it again, and we'll start all over and go through it again. That's not what it says here. It says in James 4, 7, submit then to God, period. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll run from you. He'll get away from you. That's our part. That's what we have to do. We have to do that. It's our part. We have to. But I want to not just leave it there. I want to take it a little further. I want to read verse 8. It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. What's he say? Come near to God, and he will do what? He will come near to you. Isn't that it? If you go towards God, say, God, I'm coming towards you. You come near to him, guess what? He comes near to you. Even if God didn't move, you're getting nearer to him. Does that make sense? But God's moving. He's moving faster than you are. And it says to come near to him, he'll come near to you. That's in the Bible. I like that. I love it when the Bible says things like that. I look at that and I'm going, okay. But then I had to look at the rest of the verse. And what's the rest of the verse say? Wash your hands, comma. You sinners, comma. And purify your hearts, comma, you double-minded. You know what a double-minded person is? You ready for this? God gave me a download on this because I used to think double-minded was a whole bunch of other things. Here's what a true double-minded person is. If you're double-minded, you're thinking of things of the world and thinking of things of God. You're double-minded. In other words, you got one foot in the earth, in hell, basically, and one foot in heaven. And it doesn't work. You can't be double-minded. You can't always be thinking. Now, you have to live in this world. But you don't have to be a part of this world. But when you're double-minded, you have all this junk that you're thinking about all the time. Now, you have school. You have work. You got to do that. But where's the rest of your mind at? What's it on? What are you thinking about? What's in the back of your mind? As we've heard said. And I'm telling you, for instance, this is going to hurt some people. I like stepping on toes. I do that a lot. I'm going to just get a toe mat. Step on it. But this is what the Lord was showing me when I was preparing for this. Double-minded is in a lot of things. God gave us great Christian composers, great Christian artists. He gave us those people for a reason. And remember, all the people that are doing worldly music and worldly songs like that, God gave them that gift. But they decided to use it for something that didn't glorify God. They made that decision. They decided that, hey, I can make more money if I do this than I can if I do that. And that's a fact. Because there's a lot of Christian artists that switched. And it's a shame. Because God gave them a gift. God gave them all of that. They became double-minded. Because when God gives you something and it's really, oh man, thank you God for this song. And you got this song and you do it. If we're and I'm going to be real blunt here. If you're listening to a bunch of worldly music, that's what's going to fill your mind. I don't care who you are, what you are. If you fill your mind full of that, that's what you're thinking. I don't know about y'all, but I had to force myself to listen to some rap music one time that was not glorifying God. Because I wanted to know, what is it? What is it? I asked God, protect me while I go in, Lord. But I had to listen to this. And it was bad. There were words in there and there were things that they're saying in there that's just absolutely disgusting. And then they try to go around saying all these things about women's rights, but yet they degrade a woman completely. If you're listening to something other than Christian music, and there's a lot of Christian music out there that you can listen to. And if you're listening to something other than that, believe me, it's going to grab your mind. I want to skip down to verse 10 for a minute. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What is that? If we humble ourselves, and he will lift us up. I want to read that one more time. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Don't set yourself up as high and mighty. Don't think you're it, all that, in a bag of chips, all right? Because chips can be crunched. You end up with crumbs. But I'm telling you, it's something that's out there. We have to humble ourselves. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what it means to humble yourself? Have you ever thought about it? What humbling means is to get rid of yourself. Put yourself over there, leave it be, and fill yourself with him. You'll humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. It's not about you. It's about him. You have to surrender. Humbling means to surrender. You have to surrender. James 4:7. Submit yourselves. Then to God. You got to submit yourself. Once you submit yourself to God, once you do that, you've humbled yourself. You said, okay, Lord, it's not about me. What do you want? I'll do whatever you want, God. Now you're not double-minded. Now you're not thinking about other things. Hopefully you're not listening to other things and you start listening to the right things. Yeah, we got to be in this world. I get it. I'm human too. Ouch. Yes, I'm human. And I'm telling you, I have learned to just walk away from this. I fill my mind with good stuff all the time. At our home, wherever I'm at, in the car. Most of the time, I never even have the radio on at all in the car, whether it's Christian music or not. Because that's a great time to communicate with God. Sometimes to communicate with other drivers, too. But, you know. But that happens. Here's what it should be like. Here's the next question everybody should be asking me. How do we do this? How do our thoughts, how can our thoughts be his thoughts? I'm glad you all asked me that question. How can we make our thoughts His thoughts? You ever think about that? That's part of it, yeah. That's part of it. Here's the picture. Anybody ever had a boyfriend, girlfriend, been married before? Had a best friend, something, someone? Somebody you like doing things with? Do you remember those times when you both said the same thing at the same time? Or you're thinking something and the other one says it and you go, I was just thinking that. You ever have that happen? My wife and I have that happen all the time. We just do. And you know why that happens? Because we know each other. We spend time with each other. Here's the thing. We talk with each other. We discuss things with each other. A discussion is when two people are talking. A conversation. Conversation is when two people are talking and both people shut up and listen. That's a conversation. And when you have a best friend, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have somebody that you love, you listen to them and they listen to you. And you have a conversation and you get to know everything about them. You start asking them questions and they start giving you answers. They ask you questions and you give them answers. And you get to know them. And once you get to know them, now their thoughts sometimes are your thoughts. And your thoughts sometimes are their thoughts. Here's what you need to do. You need to tune out the rest of the world. And I mean tune it out. If there's ever been one thing that affects people more than anything else, it's music. I touched on that a minute ago. Music affects people. Here's what happens. When you hear somebody speak, you hear it. When you see them while they're speaking, you now can see it and hear it. And sometimes a person can speak and some emotions will kind of creep in there a little bit. But when you hear music, it uses all parts of the brain. If you've ever watched those, I think they're called a PET scan, where they show the different activities of the brain, where it's moving at and everything. And music is playing, it reacts differently than when no music is there. Or somebody's just talking, or they just see something visual. Music, people that have Alzheimer's or dementia, they can't remember your name, they don't even know who you are, but you play a song, and they'll start singing that song with you. And they can't even talk sometimes, but they'll sing a song. Why is that? Because it wakes up a portion of the brain. Music is attached to everything. And I can tell you personally from being in heaven, that when I was in heaven, music went through me. I mean, it's like, oh, you feel it, every part of your body, your fingernails, everything. You feel music. You taste music. You see music. You hear, oh, it's just unbelievable. Music's like that. Have you ever heard somebody, like a couple, you know, because you talk about people getting to know each other? Has anybody in here ever had their song? Okay. You know, I think God might have a few songs for us, too. And He'll go, hey, that's our song. You ever think about that? God's going, hey, that's our song. I think that's cool. I never thought of it like that. But when you have a relationship with God like that and you're not double-minded, God has those things. You have to spend your time listening to His music. And you have to cut off the worldly junk. And it's just that, it's junk. I don't care. Listen, I grew up rock and roll, soul music. I used to disco dance. I loved disco music back then, funky music or whatever you call it, funk music. I listened to all that junk. And I let it fill my whole life up. And I became whatever that music was. And that music destroyed me. Not that it was real bad music. I mean, people tell you, oh, it's not bad. It's not curse words. It's not like the rap. But it is bad music. Because it's deterring away from what God has given you. Listen, not every Christian artist is the best. There's some out here, and I'll be like, okay, I got to turn that station. You know, go to something else. But I'm going to fill myself up with his music. There's a niche for everybody out there. There is. How about, you ever get a note from somebody that just touches your heart? I'm looking at a little one over here that sent me a note one day, and it just tickled me to no end. I cried like a baby, all right? Later that night when I read it when nobody else was around. I read it once in front of everybody, and then I read it again. But when you get a note from somebody, how about a poem from somebody? Anybody ever get a poem from somebody? And I'm not talking about roses are red, violets are blue. You look so happy when I'm with you. Hey, I tried. Oh, my wife's going to get. I'm not a poet. So you would want a note from somebody. Just a little note. How about a little note saying, hey, I love you. Have a great day. You know, why do you think God had the Bible written? Why do you think we have the Bible today? That's God's notes to us. He's got poems in there. He's got psalms. He's got songs. He's got everything in there. And he's got the best love letter in the world. The best love letters in the world are right there in the Bible. Starting with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Start reading it. The rest of it's good. But starting there, that's where the love letter really begins. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the biggest love story ever. It encompasses everything. What's God up to? We are what God's up to. We are. Every one of us. He made us a beautiful place to live here. It's called Earth. This is kind of our Garden of Eden. It's a lot better than trying to live on the moon. Okay? It'd be kind of hard to breathe up there, even with gills. and you know, not only that, God made the earth for man. He didn't make it for any other creatures. And as far as we know, he didn't make any other planets for any other creatures. He gave us earth. He said, here's man, here you go. Here's the earth. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you smell that has to do with nature, God gave that to you because he loves you. And not only did he give us this earth, he gave us the whole universe. And we can look at that. It's beautiful. When you go out there on a starry night and you can look up at the stars, unless you live in L.A. and you can't see through the fog. But most places on the earth, you can look up and you can see the stars and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. God gave us that. And we're even dumb enough to go out there and try to explore it. But we're going out and doing it. I mean, it's kind of cool. It's not really dumb. I shouldn't say that. It's just we're going out there and we're checking things out. It's really cool. And, of course, scientists are always like, hey, let's see if we can find life someplace else. Yeah, there's life in heaven. Everything on the earth was created for man. Some for our stomachs to enjoy. Others for our ears, some for touch, some to just look at. They made it all for us. Personally, I think it's awesome, but he went one step further. He saw how messed up things were here on earth, how bad man had taken the earth and destroyed it. And once he did that, he said, I need to send my son. And he sent his son. And his son died for us. Why can't we do James 4:7? Why can't we do our part of it? Actually, both of them are our parts. The first sentence and the second sentence. Both of them. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Or submit yourselves then to God. I surrender, God. Give you everything. Now, resist. Resist the devil. He's been defeated. Get it through your head. He's been defeated. He's not good. He can't hurt you. I don't care what any religious scholar out there wants to say and argue with me about it. He can't hurt you. He can't hurt you. Don't think, oh, I got to be careful what I say. The devil will get mad at me. Let him get mad at you. I like it when he gets mad at me. He gets mad at me every Saturday night because I come here and I speak. He gets mad at me every day of the week. I hope so. Because he's already been defeated. He's nothing to fear. As long as you have Christ inside of you, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Chris, can you put the music on, please? There's no greater love story. I know I've talked a lot tonight. I talked longer than I normally would have. But I just feel like this is an important message tonight. It's important to understand. There's people out there right now that are hurting so bad. People are committing suicide because they hurt. They hurt inside. And they're looking for something. We've got what they're looking for. We've got it. But we're so stingy sometimes, we're not willing to give it. Because the church has taught us to come and sit on our hands and do nothing. It's been wrong. The church has been wrong for several hundred years. We're supposed to go out there and find those people. And not bring them to church, but take church to them. It's time we did that. It's time we got out there and we took it to them. You have people all around you that are hurting. When I get two messages, almost identical messages today from two separate people, one from Canada, one from the United States, and both of those people are ready to give up everything. They're done. Because nobody's reached out and loved them. Nobody's reached out and tried to help them. All they wanted to do is take, 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 take. And I'm tired of the taking gospel. Gospel isn't something you take. It's something you give. Yeah, the gospel is free. And it does cost money for us to do this. And if people can help support, I'm great. I'm happy with that. But I'm not going to sit up here and plead, beg, and tell you and promise you and tell you this is going to happen and that's going to happen and have these glory things where everybody comes around and woo, we all dance around and give money and throw it around. No. God will speak to your heart and tell you when it's time to do that. And God will talk to you. And God will bless you. And as God blesses you, it's okay to bless somebody. It's okay to do that. But don't be up there. Preachers, if you're watching me or somebody's told you about it, don't be sitting up there begging the people and doing all this shenanigans and everything to get people to give you all their money. You're ruining people. You're hurting them. And I'm tired of it. I'm very fed up with it. I'm fed up with the gospel of you got to have a whole lot of money. And I'm fed up with everybody being told, everybody's going to get a blessing. Yeah, you're going to get a blessing, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. You might get an extra $50 in your paycheck. You might get an extra $5 that week. You might get $100,000. I don't know. But don't tell people that everybody, if you give $1,000, the Lord's going to give you $100,000 back. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't say that. I can't find that in the Word of God. Quit stealing from people. Quit robbing people. But it's okay to give. It's okay to ask. But don't demand it from people. Don't tell people things that aren't in the Word of God that you've taken and twisted. I'm sick of that. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm really sick of it. Heavenly Father, right now, there's people out here, God, that are hurting so bad. So bad. God, forgive me because I didn't even reach out to these people, God. I failed. I failed, God. I'm not beating myself up. I'm asking for forgiveness, God, in front of all these people and all these people watching. God, forgive me because I haven't done my part. Forgive me, God. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you can heal their hearts and you can heal these people. That God, anybody that's watching tonight online or anybody that's in here, God, anybody that's broken, anybody that's having these problems, anybody going through this mess of life that's out here, I just ask right now, Heavenly Father, that you just reach down and you let everybody know you're there with them, you love them, and you're going to help them get through it. But God, I hope and pray they understand there's a part they have to do too. We're not puppets on a string. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that your glory fills this room, that your glory fills the rooms of the people that are watching at home. That God, you let them know how much you love them, how much you care for them. Holy Spirit, move in their lives. Heal their hearts. Heal all their hearts right now, God. The people watching, the people here, heal their hearts, God. Heal their hearts to this message tonight. I ask this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you. Amen. I'm going to say goodbye to the people that are watching tonight. And those that have requested prayer, all I can tell you is if you go to our website, that's www.openskyministry. Remember, it's singular, it's ministry. openskyministry.org. There's a place there where you can contact us, and there's a place there where you can send a prayer request. And I have been praying with people this week. And those other people that have contacted me other ways, I'm praying for you. I promise you I am. And I thank you. God bless. We'll see you guys again next week. Thank you. All right, we're off the air.